It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A new Marquette University Law School poll finds President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump are tied in a hypothetical rematch in Wisconsin. In the lead up to Super Tuesday, when the most states vote in the presidential primary cycle, we discuss the Republican nominating race and we hear from you. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Gunnar Raymer is here, political director for the Republican Accountability PAC. Gunnar, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
So the aggregate polling site 538 estimating 75% of Republican voters support Trump for the nomination. And you've been conducting focus groups with voters who've supported Trump. Why are many Republicans again supporting Trump this election?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I would say that after the midterms in 2022, in the early part of February 2023, there was a sense among Republican primary voters of wanting to move on, right? They were frustrated with the Republicans' midterm performance. And the clear alternative was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, right? He won Florida by about 20 points when a lot of Republicans had a red wave turn into a red mirage, and they were disappointed with Trump, and they saw DeSantis' performance in Florida and said, oh, he is, as a focus group participant said, he is Trump without the baggage, or another one said he is Trump not on steroids, right? That he was the clear alternative. But as we saw before DeSantis announced, he signed a six-week abortion ban, which countered the best pitch that he had, which was electability. And then these indictments came out against former President Trump. And there was a series of indictments. And what that did is it sucked up the oxygen around the news cycle and created this sustained rally around Trump effect, right? These indictments that came out last year remind Republican primary voters why they liked him in the first place. And that is the tapping into the victimhood grievance politics that ultimately animates the Republican primary base. And there just was a lack of political talent from Republicans. And we have seen a consolidation among the more establishment Republicans rally behind Nikki Haley. And she did okay in New Hampshire. We saw her lose the Nevada primary to none of the above candidates. And ultimately, yes, Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee because the base wants him, the base likes him, and they didn't see any clear alternatives once they saw DeSantis as an actual retail politician.
So it sounds like it is apparent to you that Trump will likely be the GOP nominee for president once more in 2024.
Oh, absolutely. If you take a look at even South Carolina for Nikki Haley, she is down by double digits, right? It depends what poll you look at. It could be 30 points or 40 points. The problem for Nikki Haley is that in South Carolina, she's actually a known quantity, right? She's underwater among Republican primary voters nationally, too. Again, Nikki Haley represents a Republican campaign out of 2012 or 2015, right? That she is the establishment pick. And that is the exact opposite of what the base wants. And the way that we think about the Republican primary electorate, there's four buckets. There is the always Trump, which represents about 30% of the Republican Party. They are Trump or bust. That is all they want. There's another 30% that is maybe Trump, right? That they liked the job he did as president, but hey, maybe they'd be open to an alternative if that came into play. There is the move on Trump, which represents another 30%. Who was very much open to an alternative after the midterms early part of this year, but were trying to find a candidate that they could all rally behind. And we've seen some of that support go for Haley as the other establishment picks dropped out. And then there is 10%, which is the Never Trump, which we are part of, coalition. It is not a big part of the Republican Party, but is it a significant part of the Republican Party? In so much as they reject Donald Trump and his brand of politics, and they also are the voters who decide elections, especially in the swing states, including in Wisconsin.
So as the Republican primary season, carries on, is this category of Never Trump growing or shrinking? What do you see?
I think that the Never Trump coalition is just about 10%. I think in the past few years, it has been that number. It remains that number. But I think ultimately, these voters reject Donald Trump. And the difficult spot that Republicans have put themselves in is that it has always been one thing to win Republican primary and have to run to the right and then move back into the middle and pivot, right, to appeal to the swing voters. But Republicans no longer have to run to the right. They run Trumpward. And it is becoming increasingly difficult to pivot back. I think that in 2022, we saw a great example of this in Wisconsin. And we were against Tim Michaels in that governor's race, right? That we saw swing voters. These are the voters who live outside of the big cities in Wisconsin. They live in the outer rings of Milwaukee, of Madison, of Green Bay. And we saw the ticket splitting happen, right? In support of Tony Evers. And I think that we are going to see swing voters once again reject Donald Trump because they don't like his brand of politics. And I will just say, there are a few caveats to that, which is when you talk to a swing voter right now, and when I say swing voter, we also call them flippers, and that can mean that they voted for Trump in 2016 and they voted for Biden in 2020, or at least they left the top of the ticket plank in 2020, or they voted third party in 2020. These are the voters who decide elections. That right now, when you talk to them, they have an unfavorable opinion or very unfavorable opinion of both Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And that dynamic was not the same back in 2020, right? Voters, swing voters could project their hopes on Biden. He could be the unity candidate, but now Biden has a record, and it's one that is not particularly popular with swing voters. And that Biden is front of center to them. He is the president. We saw what happened, which I think was a disaster yesterday, with the report that came out for Biden and his age and his forgetfulness. And so voters have forgotten in a way about what they disliked so much about Donald Trump, and they remember what they dislike about Joe Biden just because he is the president right now. So it is a particular challenge as we try to sustain and keep this anti-Trump coalition, is that we are dealing with an incumbent Democratic president.
Gunnar Raimer is a political director for the Republican Accountability PAC. That's an anti-Trump group formed in the wake of the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Republican National Convention is about 5 months away in Milwaukee. We hear from the Republican Accountability PAC about how the primary season is unfolding as former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is the last remaining significant rival to frontrunner Donald Trump. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Gunnar Raimer is political director for the Republican Accountability PAC. Gunnar, we heard the New York Times reporting Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel is planning to step down from the position after the South Carolina Republican primary. Why is McDaniel stepping down?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that it speaks to the dysfunction that the Republican Party is facing right now. We saw the disaster over the failed impeachment over the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. We saw the dysfunction over the deal in the Senate. And I guess I think the larger point is, and then we see that the chair of the RNC is going to be dropping out. But I think that why this is such a missed opportunity for the Democratic Party with this report about Joe Biden coming out is that Republicans looked really bad. And we saw back in 2022 when a bunch of extreme candidates were winning the Republican primary, swing voters took a look at that and said, oh, I don't want to support this kind of Republican Party. And I think that swing voters could have taken a look at all of this dysfunction among the Republican Party and said, oh, geez, this is just another reminder of why I can't get behind this type of Republican Party, right? You have these traditional Reagan-type Republicans who very much want the party to turn back into time, even though it's not going to, because Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party and seen all this dysfunction. And yet, with the report coming out with Joe Biden yesterday, it really takes away from all of that, right? It changed the contours of the news cycle. And I think it was such a missed opportunity by having this come out for the Democratic Party, because there is all this dysfunction coming out with the Republican Party. There is so much division among both rank and file Republicans, Republican voters, at least in some ways. And that was just another example of the internal dynamics playing out.
So the Times also reporting that the leading candidate to replace McDaniel falsely believes there was a mass voter fraud in the 2020 election. How common is that fallacy in the base today?
Oh, it absolutely remains, right? It seems that if you are not to believe that the 2020 election wasn't stolen from Donald Trump, that you have no place there. I think a great example of that is look at what happened to the 10 House Republicans who voted in support of impeaching Donald Trump. Eight of them are no longer elected officials. Mitt Romney's retiring. And if you look at the two elected officials who voted to impeach Donald Trump, one of them, Dan Newhouse of Washington State, got lucky that there is a top two system there and skated by because the MAGA vote was split up in that district. And the second member, David Valadao, someone who is close allies with then Speaker Kevin McCarthy, faced no strong primary challenger that was Trump endorsed. So to not believe the election wasn't stolen, you have no place in the Republican Party. At least that's what elected officials, Republican leadership wants you to believe. The under-discussed, I think it is under-discussed point, is that how much Donald Trump has fundamentally changed the Republican Party. Back in 2015, 2016, he started it, and it has sustained, right? I guess I was naive that after January 6th, I thought that the Republican leadership would say January 6th was terrible. I guess some of them did at the time, but they quickly scurried back in support of Trump, right? Kevin McCarthy went down to Mar-a-Lago just a few weeks later. I thought that after the midterms and all of Trump's candidates lost and a lot of winnable races, while it was a poor environment for Democrats nationally, I thought the Republican Party was going to move on. But as we sit here today, it is very clear that the base wants Donald Trump and all of the forces that he has unleashed on the Republican Party. But I will just say that that brand of politics has been rejected by swing voters time and time again. We saw it happen with the Republican Party during the midterms in 2018. We saw it with Donald Trump's candidacy himself in 2020. And we saw it play out last cycle in 2022, when typically the incumbent president's party does very poorly during that first midterm. So I hope that these swing voters continue to send a signal, a message, a very clear message to Republican elites and Republican primary voters that this type of politics isn't going to play out. But yet again, I am unsurprised that an election denier is going to be elevated to a position of power.
We're talking about national politics with Gunnar Raimer with us, with the Republican Accountability PAC. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Gunnar, I just want to take a moment here to look at Congress. There's this resolution circulating in the House that states that Trump, quote, did not engage in insurrection. What do you make of these actions?
Well, I think it's despicable. I think that anybody who looks at January 6th and downplay it is incredibly wrong. They're on the wrong side of history. I can't think of anything less constitutional. That's something that conservatives and Republicans have always said that they're in support of, than trying to overturn a free and fair election. And that's exactly what the election denialism that Donald Trump has instilled in the Republican Party. That's exactly what January 6th is about. We saw it. I think this came out last night that Elise Stefanik, who is vying to be Trump's vice president, is downplaying yet again January 6th. I think that it is terrible. But also, putting January 6th back in the news cycle is good for the Democratic Party, right? When you talk to swing voters, they are bothered. They're repulsed by the idea of January 6th. And I said it earlier, right, that Joe Biden is top of mind for swing voters, but I think as they begin to internalize this idea that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee, Joe Biden is going to be the Democratic nominee, and they are once again reminded of all the reasons why they disliked Donald Trump, and one of the main reasons is January 6th, that we are going to see a shift in the polling. We're going to see a shift among focus group participants who are these flippers that voted for Trump in 16, oftentimes voted for Biden in 20. And ultimately, that can be a good thing for the Democratic Party. And one last note on this, that it is terrible. We have a two-party system in this country, and that's just going to be the way it is. And to have one of the major political parties not believe in free and fair elections is incredibly dangerous. And we saw what happened play out on January 6th. And looking ahead to the general election, we will see what happens. I think the contests in the swing states, including Wisconsin, it's going to be incredibly tight. And I am worried over a continued an emphasized use of this election denialism and what that means for our country.
Gunnar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Gunnar Raymer is political director for the Republican Accountability PAC. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.